One of the great truisms of Bloomberg surveillance is when I get it wrong. Rich likes to remind me. I got it wrong the other day, where I thought it was like a 12-week siesta for our congresspeople.
Right. Yeah, we learned something.
I was wrong.
We learned something.
Completely wrong. Zach Cohen is here to correct me, courtesy of our producer. Zach Cohen, I had no idea how bustling it is through July. Describe the frenzy.
Yeah, no, if they were off, it would be a lot quieter around here up on the Hill. No, they've only got one more week, and they will take a 2-week break. So you're not totally off. They're going to enjoy 4th of July just like the rest of us. But when they come back in July, they're going to have their hands full before they take a much longer break in August. They've got a number of spending bills, a defense authorization bill. They're trying to reauthorize the Federal Aviation Administration. A lot of these big bills that Congress sees as sort of must-pass items that need to get done by the end of the fiscal year, or at least by the end of the calendar.
We talked to Henrietta Trays, always wonderful at Veda Partners, and Henrietta made clear it's basically spend, spend, spend. Is there any nuance of this, or is it just basically get the bill through and both sides are going to spend more money?
That is the multi-trillion dollar question on Capitol Hill right now, because you've got House Republicans on one side who have been writing spending bills that are much lower than what the Senate is expected to put forward later today. Tomorrow at their committee meetings. And this all goes back to the debt limit negotiation, right? House Republicans basically said, we're not going to raise or suspend the debt limit and extend the U.S. government borrowing ability unless we have real plans to cut back on spending. And that debate will really play out in the appropriations process. That question of how much will a government agency spend over the next fiscal year, which starts September 30th of this year. It's really not clear, honestly, how House Republicans' plans and the Senate plans, which will need to be bipartisan in order to come out of the Senate to do the filibuster, how they match those up.
So, I mean, you're talking, Zach, about, you know, some policy about agricultural, aviation, defense. Is that stuff that just kind of de facto gets done every Congress? Or is there something out there that's going to make the front pages here in terms of legislation over the next couple of months?
Yeah, the defense bill has passed every year for the last six decades. And so that's probably the most likely candidate to get through. People generally want to make sure that troops get paid and that we're authorizing defense programs, military programs that are set to expire at the end of the year, especially given the increased tensions with China and Russia vis-a-vis Taiwan and Ukraine, respectively. The aviation and farm programs, those are, I think, five-year reauthorizations. And so those don't come up every year. The farm bill is also one of these really bipartisan things. Everybody eats. A lot of districts produce food. And so there's always a lot of interest in getting that done on time. But it's got some more polarizing issues, things like work requirements for SNAP benefits is usually litigated there. Maybe that was taken care of in the debt ceiling deal. We're still waiting to figure that out. And then the aviation bill should have sailed through committee. It did in the House, but in the Senate, it's bottled up actually over slots in the Washington Reagan National Airport. There are some senators who would like an easier trip home, and that hasn't really been sorted out yet because area senators want to keep the perimeter really tight for that one.
Yeah, I read that carefully on Reagan. That was really interesting. Just a civics 101 that Paul and I studied in school a million years ago. Do the chairman have power, or is the ballet changed?
Chairman definitely still have a lot of the power on Capitol Hill. They basically decide what's going to come up, at least through regular order. More and more of the power is with the Senate Majority Leader and the House Speaker, especially as we saw during the debt ceiling negotiation. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty of actually writing these bills and getting them ready for the floor, there's only so much that leaders can do. And so if you're a rank and file member of Congress, if you've got the ear of a chairman of a committee of jurisdiction of a bill that you want to get on the floor, that's a pretty good place to be.
Who's really kind of running the bus here as it relates to the next showdown in terms of funding this government, the shutdown issues? I mean, it felt like we just kind of kicked the can down the road a little bit. Is this something we have to worry about prior to the election, or did they kind of effectively kick it down the road?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't make plans for early October, which is, again, that funding deadline. Conservatives in the House Freedom Caucus in the Republican conference who are much more interested in tamping down federal spending that are going to be very reticent to support any spending bills that don't have the kind of cuts that they've been calling for in domestic spending. But the Senate, which has kind of been on the sidelines in these funding debates so far, is ready to sort of put its marker on this and say, now, hold on a second. These are the programs that we really need to be funding. And they're probably going to be wanting to throw some more money at those than House Republicans are ready to do. So I would sort of follow the two ends of this, the Senate Democrats coming in with some backup from Senate Republicans versus the House Republicans that you've been hearing about for the last 6 months.
Zach Cohen, thank you so much. The Bloomberg government here on the frenzy that we're going to see in July.